This is the day the Creator has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, your vision of a renewed earth in which heaven comes to rest. And even now, while we too often despair of healing and wholeness, to hold fast to your promise and commit again to hope through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of creation, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Hear what the Spirit is saying to all God's creation.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Babylonian Talmud. While the sage Honi was walking along a road, he saw a man planting a carob tree. Honi asked him, "How long will it take for this tree to bear fruit?"
70 years, replied the man.
Honi then asked, "Are you so healthy a man that you expect to live that length of time and eat its fruit?"
The man answered, "I found a fruitful world because my ancestors planted it for me. Likewise, I am planting for my children." Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I recently read a story about a woman who moved with her young family from the city, where she had always lived, to a suburban house with a big backyard. One day, her little daughter went and opened the sliding glass door, and in hopped a frog. The mother, in true city girl fashion, had actually never seen a frog up close and personal before, and she completely freaked out, seeing one sitting there in her living room. Her first response was to rush with her daughter over to the next door neighbor's house and knock on the door in full panic mode. When the neighbor opened the door and asked what was going on, the mother and daughter said exactly the same words at the same time. There's a frog in our house. But while the mother's voice was frantic, full of stress and anxiety, there's a frog in our house, the daughter's tone was more of a squeal of delight. Can't you just imagine it? There's a frog in our house! The daughter was not only not upset by the frog, she was enchanted by it. Perhaps she saw it as the beginning of an adventure, like a frog in a fairy tale, or maybe it was a pet in the making, a creature in need of a name and some loving attention. Even though they were both looking at the same thing, experiencing the same thing at the same time, the mother saw something weird and alien and threatening, while the daughter saw something magical. In today's passage from Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't exactly tell us to be like children the way he famously does in Matthew's gospel. Instead, he instructs us to extend a welcome to children, placing a child in the center as a way of illustrating what it means to be last of all and servant of all. This orientation was profoundly countercultural then, and it still is today. You've seen bookstores where the shelves are crammed with volumes about how to be a good, strong, effective leader. But there are far fewer self-help books illustrating how to be a better servant. Being first, best, strongest is a badge of honor and a sign of success. Champions are those who come in first, whether that's in athletics or academics or really any competitive pursuit. Being last is synonymous with failure. You hear it in our political discourse too, that desire for achievement and acclaim. What does it mean, for instance, for a country to be great? Is it only about who has the biggest economy and the best military? Or can there be other ways to assess a country's greatness? You've probably heard that Mahatma Gandhi said, "The true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members." I wonder how our country would change if our politicians and government officials were vying to show that their state or town had the lowest incidence of homelessness because of their outstanding treatment centers for people struggling with addiction and mental illness, the most beautiful and abundant affordable housing, the most comprehensive and inclusive free public schools, the highest minimum wage, the lowest incarceration rate, and on and on. Wouldn't those things make life great for a lot more people than a soaring stock market or a bigger nuclear arsenal? Let's backtrack to that story about the little girl and the frog for a minute. At the risk of being too sentimental, I do think there's something important and true in the idea that children are more open to the world around them, more likely to be accepting and curious rather than judgmental or afraid. That special something we call childlike wonder, that is a precious commodity, and we should protect it in children and find ways to cultivate it in ourselves. But before we get too sappy about it, we might want to consider that it's likely a quality that goes hand in hand with how vulnerable children are. It is the typical adult's discomfort with vulnerability, the defenses we build up so we can feel less dependent on others and more in charge of the world, that slowly chip away at our innate childlike sense of wonder and connection to all living things. So if we're using Gandhi's standard to measure our society, and I would argue that that standard is the standard of Jesus as well, then the most vulnerable in our society aren't just the poor and the hungry and the unwell. The most vulnerable are also children, who are not only vulnerable to injustice and violence, but also to environmental toxins, polluted air and water, and harmful chemicals in our food supply. So then when we widen the lens even a little more from there, it's not hard to see that those same vulnerabilities apply to non-human creatures, what some call the more human world of plants and animals. The health and well-being, then, of little children, of our oceans, of endangered species, and even backyard frogs, are a good indicator of how much of our societal energy is going into being servants rather than the greatest. The truth is, and I think this is a happy truth, that almost anything we do today to help slow or mitigate the climate crisis is going to help the most vulnerable in our society, since children, as well as people of color and people who live in poverty and people with disabilities of all ages, are disproportionately affected by the impacts of climate change. That's part of what makes that story from the Babylonian Talmud so powerful. Planting trees is an incredible metaphor. When you plant a tree, especially if it's the right kind of tree for its context, you're clearly helping the environment now. You're making a small but measurable difference in sequestering carbon, for instance. The right tree in the right place can also help with soil erosion, with water quality, with drought mediation, and with capturing rainwater. These small but measurable differences add up, and they're good for all of us who depend on a healthy planet for our survival, which is all of us. A single tree can provide other benefits to people right now, from the child who climbs that tree for fun to a stressed out office worker who walks to the tree at lunchtime to find a cool and quiet place to eat and relax. And as the Talmud indicates, trees are also an investment in the future. The trees right here at St. Martin's are one of our greatest assets. They're physically beautiful, they provide shade, and they have these intangible benefits that welcome and support everyone who steps on our grounds. Many of them have been here longer than most of us, and yet it is only our care for them that will ensure that they continue to be here for many more years. The season of creation, the season we're in right now, is a time to think about what steps we can take to plant a fruitful world for our children. And of course, when I say our children, I mean all children. Jesus put a little child in front of the disciples, in essence asking them to place that child's needs ahead of their own. That child, so entirely loved by Jesus, was every child. That child was each one of us when we are at our most vulnerable, which is to say our most human, our most creaturely, our most real. There is good news in realizing that a healthier planet leads to healthier people, and healthier people help create a healthier planet. We don't have to choose to care for one more than the other. Putting children at the center, all children, the way Jesus did, means that we're all going to work to have better air, better water, better soil, and better communities. It may mean consuming less and producing less and changing how we measure success and greatness. It will also, though, mean having more time for play, for rest, for family, for discovery and delight. And it can start today in how we talk to each other, how we encourage each other, how we choose to eat and laugh and worship together, walking lightly on the earth, keeping future generations in mind, and living simply so that others may simply live. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us offer our prayers to God, who gives life and breath to all creatures, saying, God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the mission of the Church throughout the world, for sharing the promise of abundant life for all and working towards its fulfillment. For our Bishop Megan, our presiding Bishop Michael, for Sean, our presiding Bishop elect, and for all clergy and lay leaders.
Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the leaders of the nations and for all who make or influence decisions for the health of our planet and the well-being of her peoples. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for peace with justice around the world, especially for an end to gun violence and to all violent competition for limited resources, including oil, minerals, water, and land. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for those who suffer illness, want, or exile because of environmental degradation. May we work to end their suffering and become agents of welcome, respite, and resilience. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the environmental concerns that especially trouble our hearts, from rising oceans to biodiversity loss to wildfires. May God move us from anxiety to action. We pray for those God has commended to our care, and especially those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, especially Gaza, Lebanon, Israel, the West Bank, Ukraine, and Sudan. And we pray for Carol G., Lisa, Tom, David, and Lavina, Jeff G., Jody O., Steve H., Garda J., Gwyneth B., Joan J., Tara P., Marie, David and Jeannie F., Marianne W., Lena and her family, David S., Jack B., Gail G., Barry H., and Nancy S. I invite you to add your own intercessions at this time, either silently or aloud.
Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for those who in their daily work are stewards and protectors of God's creation in ways large and small, for gardeners, farmers, and ranchers, for rangers and park managers, for fishers and foresters, for climate scientists, ecologists, and activists, and for all who work to restore and heal our wounded earth. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the dead, especially for those holy women and men who taught us to marvel in all God's works.
We pray for the repose of the souls of Bob Medeiros and John Garfield, and for their families and friends who mourn.
Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given us. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and God's creation.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Peace with yourself, peace with creation, peace with one another. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome. We have several announcements today. We're going to start with Sue, who's here from the vestry to give us some updates.
You know, every week we tell you to take this sheet home and read it carefully, but it's especially important this week. Okay. We have lots going on, and we have lots of Christian ed type stuff coming up. Starting Tuesday, there is a class that Pamela is involved with, and it's a Zoom class, Love God, Love God's World. And there's films, there's lots of cool stuff. There's only room for a few more people. So when you get home today, if you want to be a participant in that, please send an email. Next week, we all have been looking at this, and next week, this is all being cleaned and repaired, which means we can't stay in here. Okay, so we're going to do something interesting, because this is all going to be scaffolding in here and not particularly safe to hang out in here. So we are moving church into the parish hall, and it's going to be really interesting. The services are going to be cool. There is handicap access. Please don't stay home. Come see how creative we can be in putting this space together. Hopefully this is only going to be for several weeks because the crew is coming in here and planning to work full time to get this job done. On September the 29th, that's next week, on Sunday at 4 o'clock, we're going to be showing a documentary film, The Philadelphia 11, about the first women ordained as priests in the Episcopal Church. We will be joined by guest speaker, the Reverend Canon Mary Goschert, one of the first women ordained priests in Northern California. And just imagine, there was a time not so long ago when there were no women clergy. Now we have Pamela, and we have a woman bishop. It's amazing the changes that have happened. And then starting Sunday, the following week, October 6th, you may have noticed that we have elections coming up. You wouldn't, California, you don't have as much advertising as you do in other parts of the country, but it's sometimes hard to have a conversation with somebody and listen to their point of view. And it's a real talent. And that's exactly what this, it's in room six or seven, right after church at 11:30. And we'll be watching little videos and having some discussions on civil discourse and values-based conversations, things that have become a little more elusive sometimes. So please take this home and mark your calendar about all the coming things. It's an exciting time.
Yes, yes, you get me too. If you don't like change, this must be a very trying time, because you notice that we have the plastic over the organ pipes. If you're the sort of person who would come to church next Sunday and say, "There's scaffolding in our church," repeat after me, "There's scaffolding in our church." So there are lots of things to look forward to. One of them is that there's going to be a mailing coming out from the church. It is not asking for money for a political candidate. In fact, it's not immediately asking for money at all. But in the fall is when we go through the exercise of having our pledge campaign, which is preparatory to the vestry being able to create a budget for next year. Because most of the money, the vast majority of the money that we have, comes from pledges from our parishioners. We don't have a rich uncle that somehow endows us with most of the money that we need, unlike some of those Eastern parishes, I might add. So look for that in the mail. Among the things that you will get is a frequently asked question list for the pledge campaign. So there are questions like, what is a pledge? And it says, unlike an immediate donation, unlike what all those political candidates would like you to do, a pledge is a commitment to contribute at a later date. At St. Martin's, we have a pledge drive in the fall, in which we ask all members of the parish if they would be willing to make a pledge or commitment showing the amount they plan to contribute in the following year. And there are a whole bunch of questions here. I would commend reading this to you if you have questions. The other one I wanted to touch on is, why does St. Martin's ask for pledges? And that's because that's where we get the money to pay for all of the things that are going on at St. Martin's. So please look for that in the mail and don't file it with all of the requests for donations for other things. All you need to do is you need to fill out a card and return it to the church. If you don't want to return it to the church by mail or in person, there are options for doing this via email or online. So look forward to that. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, Sue. We've had a lot of announcements. I just want to make a couple of points about the service today. You've probably read that when we get to the end after communion and the post-communion prayer, we will be heading into the parish hall because we want to finish the service in the parish hall to sort of mark that we're making that transition this week. And so there will be a procession, and there will be children in the procession and the streamers and lots of things. And for all of you in the pews, your cue, as it were, is that when that you've seen the choir and the clergy and then a banner process out, that's when it's your turn to go. We'll walk into the parish hall, take your time, we'll wait for people to gather there, we'll sing our concluding hymn. So I just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with that. I hope you are. And also, if you haven't been here before or haven't been here for a while, that you know that the way we do communion is up front at two stations. You come forward down the middle aisle. You choose which station you would like. This side is for where I intinct the host into the wine and hand it to you. This side is where the communion host and the chalice are separate. So you get to decide which one you want and then go back to your seats around the side aisles. You can also come forward and cross your arms, indicating you would like a blessing rather than to receive communion. We do have gluten-free hosts if you need that. And of course, we can bring communion to you. Oh, the ushers are in back holding up bags. That is, if you would like a welcome bag, you have to raise your hand so they can come find you. But we won't embarrass you in any way by pointing out or making you introduce yourself or anything like that. So welcome bags are here for you if you want them. Any celebrations or milestones? We had one at 8. We had a anniversary. There was a wedding anniversary of the Reynolds, and then it's my 7th anniversary of being here at St. Martin's. That was last week. John Dolan.
Three things to be grateful for, and there's a common theme with all of them. The first is the Pioneer Baseball League finished its first season as a professional team Saturday night.
Yay!
Yolo High Wheelers, playing at UC Davis Stadium, won the championship. Woo! 8-7 Saturday night. Some of us attended some of these games. But mark a great achievement. Second, the Oakland A's are leaving Oakland.
That's not a celebration. That's a milestone, but not a celebration.
This year, we've been averaging about 3,000 people in attendance. Friday night, they had 23,000 people there. Saturday night, they had 33,000 people there. Of course, most of those were Yankee fans, but that doesn't matter. The third thing is that your own record, Pamela,
grew up watching the Oakland A's sitting in the left field bleachers, adoringly staring down at her baseball crush, Ricky Henderson. Friday night, we took Pamela to the Oakland A's game. We sat in those same bleachers. Not only was Ricky Henderson there, and I'm surprised that this next item is not on the altar, but she took home a bobblehead of Ricky Henderson, too.
You know, I wasn't going to go into all that, but thank you, Mr. Dolan. It's just a coincidence that I'm wearing A's colors today. It really has nothing to do with that. Some of us really love baseball. Okay. Well, for... Oh, my. Yes. Oh, James's birthday, and he's not here. Okay, well, we'll pray for James's birthday and for a safe ride for him. Okay, and we'll pray again next week. I think it's time to turn back to our bulletin. On page 5, we will say the celebrations and milestones prayer. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
And
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the God who made us.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time, you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation, to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Those of you who are in the special procession, if you want to start getting in place, let us pray. Holy One, you feed us with bread from heaven and the gifts of Mother Earth. In this communion, you have drawn us into your embrace, and you call us to friendship with one another. You have given us the gift of reconciliation. May we who have tasted that gift from you offer ourselves in peace and humility to one another, and may you always walk among us as friend. Amen. May God, who established the dance of creation, who marveled at the lilies of the field, who transforms chaos to order, lead us to transform our lives and the church to listen to the voice of all creatures that reflect God's glory in creation. And the blessing of the Creator God, the risen Son, and the promised Holy Spirit bless you that you might be a blessing to others today and always.
Amen.